All right, tonight, you already have one of the marquee matchups in all the NHL. You have your Chicago Blackhawks and your Pittsburgh Penguins, two of the best teams. But then on top of that, you have our friend Doc Emmer calling the game. What else would you want in a hockey game? Doc joins us right now by way of the telephone. How are you, Doc?
I'm good. I'm at the United Center and representative of having listened to the last hour of the show.
Yes.
Sitting in the first row behind the penalty box.
We should be in there.
I just ran into Ro and Anna. They're out here because their show starts after yours, of course. I have a grasp of the obvious. And I said, you guys got a challenge today because you're going to have to keep up with what's been done. I explained to them the grass between the fingers.
Yes.
I will add that my brother could do it and I could not.
Is that true?
There's some kind of a mouth formation that you either can do it or you can't, I'm convinced. But I could never, I tried it, but I never could do it.
Hard to pull that off.
I played the flute when I was younger, so maybe that has something to do with it. But you're not referring to Bill making the whippoorwill sound with his hands.
Yeah.
He's been working on it all afternoon.
I'm so embarrassed, Doc. I've been trying for an hour. I can't get it to work.
When did you find a Kleenex?
Doc, does any team in the NHL have a sponsor for the penalty box? Because I think WGN should sponsor the penalty box with Wendy and my name on it. Wouldn't that be a cool thing?
It might not be a bad idea. I'm just looking over here. In some arenas, it is, in fact, sponsored, and it tends to be by insurance companies with little geckos on it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it is Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh,
that little Bob, that guy, cartoon Bob.
Animated Bob.
It's got the panels right behind where the guys sit down to look ashamed.
Yep.
Lucky little Bob. That's a great idea, though,
Just
Bill.
To report in one other thing, Stan Bowman is currently holding a press conference, and I got in on the first 20 minutes of it because it began a little after 2. A little after 2:30, and he mentioned that the Blackhawks are done, that the Oduya deal is the only one. You may have already reported that, but I just wanted...
Apparently there was an embargo on that.
That would be the sound check that is probably starting now. If it continues to go on, I will move into the hallway. But yeah, the Oduya deal is the only one.
All right, so Johnny Oduya coming back. We didn't know that any trades were going to happen. The deadline was quickly approaching. And Johnny Oduya back on the Blackhawks at 35 years of age, still playing strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. Because you can never have too many defensemen if you're planning on winning the Stanley Cup. It's a run that tends to beat you up. And conservatively, if you look at this at training camp, most teams require anywhere from 10 to 14 defensemen to get through an entire year just because of the attrition through injury and sometimes through fatigue, especially if it's an Olympic year or the schedule is compressed. And this year it's compressed because of the bye. Next year it will be compressed either because of the Olympics or because the bye might kick in again, that 5-day period that's mandatory where the players are not to report for practice or be anywhere near the rink. And so with that, the schedule gets crunched a bit, and the Blackhawks and the Penguins are both playing 16 games in 31 days in the month of March. So you do go through people. And to get through the 8 weeks that it takes to win the Stanley Cup, you need people. And to have veteran presence and to have somebody that on a very offensive team can not only generate offense but protect, that's a good thing.
Doc,
and
what do
so
you
– did...
Oh, go on,
I
I'm
think
sorry.
They did good here.
What do you make of this? The Blackhawks have done this 3 or 4 times now in the last 5 seasons. They have reacquired a player who played with them once before. What do you make of that? Other teams will do that from time to time, but like I said, the Blackhawks have done it 3 or 4 times in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's a known commodity. The coach knows what they are going to get from a player like that. And as Stan was saying about 15 minutes ago, we had investigated or we'd been interested in getting Johnny back before, but the price was different. And this time we got a price that we could live with. So we made the deal.
Excellent. Welcome back, Johnny Oduya. Glad to have you.
Absolutely. Hjalmarsson is not playing tonight.
He's on the IR. Now, it's not published in our game notes, but I learned from some of the daily print reporters when I got to practice this morning that even though it's not published in the notes, that he did go on the IR today. So I looked for it last night because when it's a did not dress in that column, and you think Hjalmarsson's, if he's able to play, he's going to play. So he didn't dress the last game, and he's on the IR now. So that's all the more reason. Johnny will not play tonight, by the way.
Yeah, when does he come back?
All the more reason to have that help I would expect that he would be able to play in the next game, but I'm not sure yet. That may have been a part of the conversation I didn't hear with Stan just a little bit ago.
All right, and this is just an observation from me, a new Blackhawk fan, new, I guess, 3 years ago. But Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, in my opinion, and no offense to them, it seems like it takes them a while to warm up, and now they're on fire. Any truth to that in your opinion?
When I first broke into this in 1973, it was players who were 28, 29, and 30 that used to tell me, the second half is our best half. Now, I was in the minors at the time, and those guys weren't going anywhere. They were staying right in the minor leagues, but they used to say that. I don't know, but I know one thing, that those two guys are playing so much better, and particularly Jonathan Toews, and the team is going so much better. Earlier in the year, and I trust Eddie Olczyk with anything that pertains to the Blackhawks, he said, this team will go as those players will carry them, and those players are carrying them really well right now. And as Stan was pointing out a little bit ago, the younger players in the last month or so have performed really well. When you win 9 out of 10 in a month and you're the hottest team in the league right now, and you're averaging over 4 goals a game in a league where getting 3 to 3.25 goals a game is really good, you're doing fine. So this is one of those, it seems like almost every time I wind up talking with you, the Blackhawks are in a really good time in their lives, and right now is one of them. And by the way, Wendy, you want to come out and work?
Why? What do you need me to do?
Well, I don't know. I just know that you're backgrounded pretty well.
I'm getting better at
going to work the rest of the hour on this other project. Why?
Do it, Wendy.
One of these times, we really do need to get you up in the booth just to see. Have you been up there before?
I have not been up there before, and I'd probably clam
you need to
up.
Get up there so you can see what. Picture the John Hancock Building about halfway up, looking down at the choppers down below. It's not that bad, but it's a thrilling place to be, and the red jerseys with the white numbers aren't that bad. So I think you do just fine.
Doc, have you ever frozen up? Has there ever been a time during a game where all of a sudden something happens and you're just not thinking clearly enough to call the game?
Yeah, I've done 3,500 games. There have probably been 3,500 occasions like that. Sure you do. Yeah, I guess because it's television, you kick yourself when those moments happen. But yeah, those things do occur. If I were calling horse races, I think there would probably be a lot greater penalty for that because there'd be people wanting to break your arm. But no, once in a while those things happen, it's 2.5 hours of conversation, and you have two other people to work with that can be there and share the 2.5 hour load with you. But yeah, every once in a while, I know I pointed out at one time when Brad Richards left and went to Detroit, he was 91 and Hossa was 81. And from that distance and that height, sometimes the numbers would get confused. And you pause a moment and you either pound the table or kick yourself and you realize it is a human endeavor and you just became human again.
Yeah.
And you have to move on because if you let it get in your head, then you're going to mess up the whole rest of the game.
Yeah, and you don't want to, as I did actually in my lifetime, I did 2 figure skating shows with Scott Hamilton as an announcer, and I learned a lot from Scott. And one of the things he used to always tell when figure skaters would agonize at the end of a performance about one mistake they made, don't sell your mistakes. Don't sell your
right.
mistakes. And so that's the thing that you try not to do. It bothers you, but you don't sell your mistakes.
Doc, here's why I've always thought that hockey is the hardest of the sports to call. Tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. It's the only sport where players are continuously leaving the playing field, and I don't know how, if you're watching the action of wherever the puck is, you're mindful enough to also watch which personnel are coming on the ice and which are leaving the ice. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, well, practice helps, but depending upon the arena and the uniform color and all of that, you can sometimes pick them up and sometimes not. But the one thing that does tend to happen is that although they are making a couple of changes in the third and fourth lines tonight, that the guys do tend to stay together, especially when those combinations work. And I guess we're going to see Schmaltz playing with Toews for quite some time now, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
The way that's worked out has worked out really well.
Yeah.
And usually if somebody hits the boards and glass and it hurts, well, that's usually Richard Panik is somewhere nearby and you can take the number 14 down. It's just part of, it really is a joy because you get to see two good teams here again tonight. And, you know, in a perfect world, sometime with these lineups, it'd be wonderful to see best of seven.
Yeah.
We can't cheer for anything, but when you see, when you look at the two lineups tonight, you just think, wouldn't it be something if they played best of seven sometime? Mm. And probably by the time we got to game six, we'd be wanting best of nine.
Well, I don't know if there's another player in the NHL who's as close to Jonathan Toews as Sidney Crosby is. They're very similar, aren't they?
They are. And I think, too, the thing that we have researched, it's interesting you came up with that because it crossed my mind, too. And I asked our researchers at NBC to figure out the number of playoff goals scored by both and what percentage of those goals either tied the game or broke a tie. In other words, they were when the going's tough kind of goals.
Yeah.
And in both cases, it was well over half.
How about that? That's an amazing
that's
stat.
That's what these two guys are made of. And they'll probably wind up taking the opening faceoff against one another tonight. And it'll just, after the anthem, it'll just be a part of the magic of the evening. And I looked up one other thing because, you know, we oftentimes talk about what a magnificent transformation this has been. And in a way, I'm giving away something that we have saved for tonight. But why not? Because there may be people that won't watch tonight. I went back 10 years ago today,
mm-hmm.
March the 1st of 2007. Colorado was a very good team. The Blackhawks were not. Colorado came in here and won 6-1 in this very building in which I'm sitting, and they had 10,500 people.
Wow.
10 years ago. Tonight there'll be 22.
Mm-hmm. And if the place held more, they'd put more in.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess it's a good thing because there'll be some people watching on television and, of course, listening to John and Troy.
No doubt about it. No doubt.
All right, so Johnny Oduya probably will be back by the next Blackhawks game. Number 27, I believe he was on the Blackhawks. Is anybody using his number? Does he get to come back and use the same number?
I would think so, yes.
I can't think if anybody's using it.
I checked that on the roster today, and there are longtime Blackhawks fans that have greater access than I that would probably go back a couple of years since Johnny left and know that somebody else had used that. But there's no one that's listed on the roster this year that has. And oftentimes when a guy returns to a team, if that number's available, it becomes his, sure.
That's good to know.
It's very good to know. Doc, you can stick around for...
Yeah, you have an Oduya jersey.
Right. That is very good news.
My son Dylan is hoping that Andrew Shaw comes back.
I keep hoping Jim Pappin comes back. Is there any chance of that, Doc, do you think?
Well, he might be here for a special night to drop the puck.
All right. I'll wear that jersey then. Doc, you can stick around for a few minutes?
Sure.
Excellent. The great Doc Emmerich joining us calling tonight's Hawks game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder joined by our friend Doc Emmerich, the great Doc Emmerich calling the game on television tonight as our Blackhawks square off against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Doc, another thing that I know you have to be well-schooled on, and I'm sure you study for this, is you got to pronounce people's names, guys' names, from all over the world. That's got to be tough. Has there ever been a name that, as hard as you tried, you just couldn't get the name right?
Sergei Krylov, who played here in Chicago for a while, was hard because, you know, it'd come to him quickly and it'd leave him quickly. Usually the puck, and sometimes the way he'd skate, he was pretty quick.
Yep.
But there was one that you get a mental block over, and a former actor, one of the guys that I worked alongside named Bill Clement, helped me with it, Sergei Nemchinov. And for some reason or other, I couldn't say it without Nemchimov. And why it was a mental block, I don't know. And he just said, say Nemnov, Nemnov, Nemnov. I could do that. And he said, then why can't you say Nemchinov? And so I started doing it. Sure enough, he brought me out of – I was no longer slicing my drives. Let's put it that way. He took me to school.
Beautiful.
We get to see Scott Darling tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
Scott will be in goal. And they always encourage us to tell stories. And so if you have time, like a half minute, here's one from Scott's past. Minor league stories are always fun because there's nothing pretentious about the minor league. So he's playing for a team in the ECHL. They play in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one day to get to Kalamazoo, Michigan for another game. So they leave Wheeling the next day, and they break down. The bus breaks down near Columbus, Ohio. So they're out on the expressway, not far from Columbus, and the bus driver says, this is not a problem. You guys get some shut-eye. and by the time you wake up, we're going to be fine. It was late at night,
yeah.
So it was after the game in Wheeling. So anyway, they drifted off to sleep, and they woke up, and the bus still hadn't moved. It was a major problem. So they sat, and they sat, and finally the guys were hungry because it was the next morning. So they hiked to a mile or so to a nearby convenience store, wiped the guy out. I mean, they bought potato chips, donuts, anything that they could buy to take back to the bus, and they were still there for a good share of the rest of the day.
Mm.
They finally got the bus working. They wheeled into Kalamazoo the day of the game. The fans were waiting. It was 10 o'clock at night. The game was supposed to start at 7. And the Professional Hockey Players Association that governs minor league hockey said that they couldn't play the game because they'd been on the road too long and, they had played too long. So anyway, that was the bizarre bus situation that Scott Darling had as a part of his past.
Wow.
He's still a very young man, and he can write a book someday on some of the things that happened in the low minor leagues traveling around. And he's such a good guy. He loves the Cubs.
Yeah.
And he got his reward.
Yeah, we're so happy. Wendy and I have had him on the show. Such a nice guy. We're thrilled for him.
Yeah. There's so many good people in this sport, and you wear the jersey of one of them, Wendy.
Duncan
and your
Keith.
Husband wears the jersey of another.
Marian Hossa.
Yeah. This morning at the morning practice, there was a woman here from Slovakia who was a good friend of Marian's mother. And so he has people visiting from Slovakia all the time, and he was very cordial, of course, to them, and they were enjoying themselves immensely sitting here watching NHL players practice this morning. There's so much of that goes on that, of course, is just a part of being a good family guy. And Dennis Rasmussen's aunt and uncle from Sweden are here.
Awesome.
And all of these visits take place during these rare times when the guys are actually at home and can be civil and still go to work.
That's so nice.
It's got to be fun to be associated with a professional athlete, I would think, especially guys that are as nice as these guys are.
Doc, when a player comes over from another country, are the people who are still, their family members who are still in that country, are they thrilled that they've come to the United States and they're seeking their fortune in the U.S., or do they wish they were still home making a name for themselves in local hockey?
It's a good question, Bill. I think the majority of them are just happy to see their son get to do what they've always wanted to do. And whether Dennis had the aspirations of being in the Swedish Elite League, but then realized that, hey, this is the number one league in the world. The best athletes from all over the world play here. And now he's in the lineup tonight, playing on one of the best teams, the hottest team in the league. And I'm sure that his parents are very proud. And his aunt and uncle are going to be sitting in the stands. And I'm sure they couldn't be prouder than being here in North America in Chicago.
Perfect.
In a house of 22,000 people. A rocking house tonight watching their son play.
Yep.
It will be a rocking house tonight. Blackhawks, Penguins, Doc Emmerich calling the game along with Eddie O. And say hi to Roe and Anna because they're going to be broadcasting live before the game coming up next. It's a pleasure to talk to you as usual.
Always fun. I'm going to go out and get a blade of grass and take it into them and see if they can keep this going.
Thank
you. You guys have had a great time today, and it was hilarious.
Oh, thank you, Doc.
Thanks,
we love
Doc.
You. Good job tonight.
Yeah, be good.
All right. Take care, Doc. The great Doc Emmerich. One of the best that's ever been when it comes to calling a hockey game. We'll take a quick break and then find out what's coming up next with Rowan Anna. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.